The scientists said that we conclude that the gene they're talking about here in chromosome 2, it marks the point where two ancient chromosomes fused to give rise to the human chromosome 2. What this means is that there were two pre-existing lines of DNA that somehow were married together to make us who we are today. What's so interesting about this is that it can't happen naturally. It doesn't happen in nature. Yet an additional study literally says that humankind resulted through what they call a hybridization of two kinds of genetic information that had not previously interbred for almost 2 million years. This is from a study by Royce and Baird, Human Genetics, 2000. So what's all this saying to us? It's saying this fusion doesn't occur naturally. It says somehow in our ancient past, there has been an intentional act, an intentional process that has created the genetic formula, the recipe for us to be who we are today. So the question, the obvious question is, what happened? What happened in our ancient past to produce those changes in the code of life? Well, physical evidence, the science, can only tell us the what. Science can go back and look at what happened. Science cannot necessarily tell us why or the intentionality. So what science is telling us right now, the physical evidence states, beyond any reasonable doubt, that we have undergone a mysterious process and our bodies have changed very little in the last 160,000 years. But because science can't tell us why, maybe if we look to some of our most ancient texts and cherished traditions, they may give us some insights. Let's see what they say. Almost universally, ancient texts state that our bodies are specifically made to contain what is called the spark, or the fire, or the spirit, or the light of a higher intelligence, of God's presence. Different words, different language, they're saying essentially the same thing. That we're here on purpose, created specifically to hold that light in this world. One of the most interesting texts that I came across when I was researching this material is from a Gnostic sect, S-E-C-T, that are known as the Mandaeans, M-A-N-D-A-E-A-N-S. The Mandaeans, if you're not familiar with them, they are the only Gnostic, ancient Gnostic sect that has survived into modern times. They're located today, of all places, you can't believe where they're located, in remote areas of southern Iraq and Iran, right through the areas where many of the wars, both Gulf War I and II, went through. The documents that have been brought forth and preserved by the Mandaeans are some of the most amazing, some of the most complete documentation, where in our spiritual and religious texts, the formation of humankind is described in one or maybe two sentences. In the beginning, God created the heavens of the earth, and from the dust of the earth, he created the body of man and breathed life into the nostrils of man, and man became a living being. So I'm paraphrasing roughly what our Old Testament says. While that's accurate, there's not a lot of detail there. These texts, such as the Mandaeans, they have paragraph after paragraph, column after column, describing the formation of the human soul and the human body and the marriage of those two together. So I'd like to share with you from one of those texts. This is from a segment in the Mandaean texts that is actually entitled The Creation of the World and the Alien Man. And the alien man is humankind. It says, because we are not native to this world. We were created here. And I'm going to go right to the part where it's describing how the body of the first of our species was created. They acknowledge the first being Adam. It says, they created Adam, his body, and they laid him down, but there was no soul in him. That's a quote. His body was created at first without a soul. And this is interesting, because the next portion says, when they created Adam, they were unable to cast a soul into him. When Adam's body was first created, according to this text, his body was not of the recipe that could contain the power of the soul or the spark of God, God's light in this world. And they had to go through changes and modifications in Adam's body. It says it was only after those changes that the radiance of life or the soul spoke in Adam, and he opened his eyes in his bodily trunk. And if you're interested in more information about this, there's a text that is entitled The Other Bible. The Other Bible, a collection of lost texts and edited texts from many of the Jewish and the Christian traditions, and that's where you'll find some of these Mandaean texts. Well, there's another body of information in the Hebrew traditions called the Haggadah. And just as the Western Christian Bible underwent a number of edits, and we lost at least 42 books in the 4th century when our biblical text was edited. I described those books in our previous work, The Isaiah Effect and the God Code, so I won't spend a lot of time with it here. But just as our texts were edited and books were lost, the same thing happened in the Hebrew tradition. The Hebrew canon that became the Hebrew Bible underwent a series of edits, and those texts were lost. Many of those lost texts are combined into a book that is called the Haggadah. And in the Haggadah, there is a section that's called the Soul of Man. And I'm going to invite you to listen to this quote. And if you have always had problems with the gendered descriptions of God as a male, this may provide some relief, maybe some reconciliation. So the quote states directly that God fashioned Adam's soul with particular care. I'm going to draw a distinction here, because the Mandaean texts say that when they created Adam's body, suggesting that it wasn't God that created the body per se. When they created Adam's body, they were unable to cast a soul into him. Now the Hebrew texts are saying that it was God personally, whatever that means to you, however you interpret the power of God, that fashioned Adam's soul with particular care. And here comes the quote that I promised. Adam's soul, she is the image of God. She is the image of God. This suggests that while Adam's body was male, that his soul is feminine. And not only is his soul feminine, but his soul is a mirror in the image of a divine presence. God fashioned Adam's soul with particular care. She is the image of God, and as God fills the world, so the soul fills the human body. Well, this is really interesting to me, because if we go back to our translation, the name of God, YHWH, if you translate those into the chemical elements of our world, God's name literally translates to hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. Colorless, odorless, formless gas. We're told in the ancient text that when God first emerged into this realm, that God filled the realm and was everywhere all at once. NASA scientists now tell us that the first element to burst into this world from whatever this world was before was literally the element of hydrogen. And the most abundant elements of our world right now, our universe, are hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, carbon, the same elements that make up our bodies. So in a very real sense, the ancient texts are saying to us precisely what the NASA scientists have said all along. In the beginning, there was nothing, and when there was something, it was hydrogen, nitrogen, oxygen, nitrogen. And the Sefer Yetzirah is saying, in the beginning, there was nothing for a long time, and when there was something, it was YHWH, the name of God. They're saying the same thing. And as this colorless, odorless, formless essence spread across the face of the earth, creation ensued. God fashioned Adam's soul with particular care, and as God fills the world, so the soul fills the human body. Goes on to say in the Haggadah that the soul of man was created on the first day of creation. This is completely the opposite of what we've been led to believe in our spiritual and religious texts that say that the soul of humankind is an afterthought, that we were created later. Everything else came first. The earth was here, the oceans were here, the mountains were here, the light, the dark, all the animals, and then humankind came along. What these texts are saying to us, if we're to believe the translations and the interpretations, is that the soul, our souls, were in fact the first act of creation. So listen to the quote again, if you will. The soul of man was created on the first day, for it is the Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. Thus, instead of being the last, humankind is really the first work of creation. These quotes and the message in the cells of your body are saying to you that you are not a byproduct of creation. You're no fluke of evolution. You're here on purpose. You are an intentionally created being, part of an intentionally created species, part of a greater family. And in that knowing, you are empowered to participate in the healing of your body and the peace of our world, because they're all part of the same experience. This is the power of understanding what this message is saying.